Anne Lamott is a social justice activist and best-selling author known for her autobiographical books, such as Bird by Bird, Some Instructions on the Writing Life, which I know some of my friends that are writers really cherish and appreciate that book, or her book Operating Instructions, A Journal of My Son's First Year, or Some Assembly Required, A Journal of My Son's First Son. I first encountered her through a book she published more than a decade ago called Traveling Mercies, Some Thoughts on Faith. How many of you have read Traveling Mercies or another of Lamott's books? Okay, not that many of you. Then this sermon is well called for. That book in particular, Traveling Mercies, helped establish her reputation as a provocative and hilarious writer on spirituality. And from that book, one of the lines that stood out to me most and stuck with me was her confession that here are two of the best prayers that I know. Help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And given the memorable resonance of that simple line, I wasn't surprised that years later she expanded that one sentence into a short book called Help, Thanks, Wow. Three Essential Prayers. As a whole, I suspect that most Unitarian Universalists are more comfortable with the final two of Lamont's prayers, thanks and wow, than with the first one, that prayer for help. Prayer in general for many people implies that there is someone or some aspect of reality that is affected, impacted, or changed by our prayers. And such claims trigger the skeptical alarms of the dedicated rationalists among us. And back when I was a progressive Christian minister, one allowance I would make for such concerns was to be intentional about directing attention to the aspect of our experience that we can control directly, and that is our actions. So whenever I was asked to pray publicly, I would often insert some version of the following sentence. We trust your wisdom, God, concerning how our petitions are to be answered, and show us how we may contribute to alleviating the needs of those for whom we pray. Show us how we may contribute. In other words, to quote a book title from the New Monastic Movement, the invitation is becoming the answer to our prayers. In that spirit, Pope Francis has awed the world, and last week was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year for not only praying for God to heal the world, but more importantly, practicing radical acts of loving kindness for the poor and the marginalized. And this vital shift from praying for help to concrete acts of helping others in need invokes Pope Francis's namesake and recalls the original 12th century prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, which challenges us even today to do our part to alleviate the needs of those for whom we might feel the need to pray. In the original St. Francis's words, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. And that's sow, S-O-W. Let me sow seeds of love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. All this being said, I don't want to leaving here this morning feeling that I unduly ducked the question of whether petitionary prayer works, although that may take a full sermon or class to really explore. In my observation, there are many more Unitarian Universalists than you might think that pray and who find praying for help to be comforting, even effective. As a middle ground, however, I know that many of you have found an interest in the phrase in that Quaker saying to someone in need, I'm holding you in the light. And regarding the meaning of this saying, the Quaker singer-songwriter Carrie Newcomer writes, what's intended by this phrase is to let the person know that in your daily meditation, whatever that looks like, you'll hold them in your heart. She says, "When I sit in silent prayer or meditation, I usually don't have a lot to say. For me, silent prayer or meditation is an opening. I open my heart and all the dark places, and I try to let in the light. I try to tune my heart and my ears to something other than the noise and distraction of the world. Often this feeling of opening, it stays with me, and I feel it in the simplest moments of my day. So when I say I'll hold you in the light, it means I'll daily open my heart and send my love and concern into the light, into the living space around you, like a Tibetan prayer flag flapping in the air. May we become the answer to our prayers. May we become an instrument of peace. May we always hold one another in the light." The second of Lamott's three essential prayers is thanks. Unitarian Universalists find ourselves on more universally safe ground here on the value of expressing gratitude. As our recent guest minister, Gretchen Weiss, quoted the 13th century mystic Meister Eckhart as saying, "If the only prayer you say in your entire lifetime is thank you, that would be enough." And choosing to emphasize the positive and focus on the good parts of your life, that can truly be transformative. I'm not saying that we need to be naively Pollyanna-ish. Rather, as you've heard me quote before from the book Buddha's Brain, the human brain is like Velcro for negative experiences. It latches on, and it's like Teflon for positive ones. They tend to slide right off. This evolutionary bias toward retaining the negative helped our ancestors survive threats in the wild by overcompensating, assuming that something was negative. So you run. Your default is run. So it's better to run when it's just the wind blowing that bush than to have it actually be the tiger and you thought it was just the wind. So that evolutionary bias toward the negative helped our ancestors survive in the wild long enough to pass on their genes to us. But to compensate today, savoring the positive can be one of the healthiest practices we can do to calm down our amygdala and let that frontal cortex have a chance to act and respond, not just react. And for many years, one of my most consistent spiritual practices has been, right as I'm lying down to go to sleep each night, to contemplatively review my day in my mind. You just kind of scan back through everything that's happened in the past 12, 14, 16 hours, and savor at least five things that I'm grateful for. Even on my worst days, I found there are at least five, and really many more, things that I'm grateful for. As Jane Kenyon writes in her poem, Otherwise, "I got out of bed on two strong legs. It might have been otherwise. I ate cereal, sweet milk, and a ripe, flawless peach. It might have been otherwise. I took the dog uphill to the birch wood. All morning I did the work I love. At noon I lay down with my mate. It might have been otherwise. We ate dinner together at a table with silver candlesticks. It might have been otherwise. I slept in a bed in a room with paintings on the wall and planned another day, just like this day. But one day, I know it will be otherwise." And we sit here this morning, the day after the one-year anniversary of the Sandy Hook Elementary School mass shooting. And we know deeply in our hearts that tomorrow is not guaranteed even for the youngest and most innocent of us. We can only open our hearts in gratitude for all that we are thankful for in this life and open our hands to help build a more just, compassionate, and peaceful world for ourselves and for our children. And in that spirit of gratitude, in a few moments, the choir will sing Amazing Grace. That English word grace comes from the Latin root gratia, which links it etymologically to our English word gratitude, or that Latin word gratus. And grace refers to that which comes to us as gift, free of charge, no strings attached. on the house. And a consummate example of gratitude for those parts of our life that feel like grace comes from one of our Unitarian forebears, the poet E.E. Cummings, who knew how to pray that essential prayer of thank you. He wrote, "I thank you, God, for this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I who have died am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life, of love, of wings, and of the gay, great, happening illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any, lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake and the eyes of my eyes are opened." For what parts of your life are you radically grateful? In your journey through this world, what has come to you as gratis, gift, free of charge, no strings attached, on the house? What gift in your life might you need to celebrate as an amazing grace? We saw earlier that Lamotte's initial claim was that here are the two best prayers I know. Help me, help me, help me. And thank you, thank you, thank you. More than a decade later, she wisely added a third essential prayer, as Laura talked about earlier, of wow, wow. Cultivating a prayerful sense of awe at the stunning beauty of this universe is another spiritual practice that many Unitarian Universalists can agree about. Indeed, one of the most frequent formulations in our religious education curriculum for our young people is some variation of, I wonder, I wonder. We encourage our children, our youth, and our adults, too, to cultivate a foundational sense of wonder and awe toward this world in which we find ourselves. Along these lines, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel often talked about the importance of radical amazement. Radical amazement. And yes, that's the same Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel that I was going to preach about last week and will again now in mid-January due to the snowstorm. But that being said, I love that phrase from Heschel, radical amazement. And although there's much truth in that bumper sticker that says, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention, I think it's equally true that if you're not radically amazed by this life, you're not paying attention. Wow, radical amazement. It's watching the Olympics and seeing the heights of human athletic potential. Wow. Radical amazement is wandering through an art museum and seeing the stunning creativity of human beings. Radical amazement is the radiant autumnal beauty of leaves in the fall, the peaceful hush of a snow-covered landscape, the lush, verdant greenness of spring, the expanse of an ocean, the endless depth of a night sky, of our universe with its more than 400 billion galaxies. Wow. What has stopped you in your tracks recently and made you say, wow? In the past few years, one of my most common spiritual practices has been taking photographs with my iPhone using the Instagram app. Of all those moments in life when I come across sights that just leave me transfixed in radical amazement, I found that rather than distracting me, photography, when done slowly and with intention, actually takes me deeper into the moment. It makes me linger longer than I would have otherwise to try different angles, to really see all that there is to see in that moment, in that sight, often causing me to notice details, angles, beauty that I likely otherwise would have missed. And similar to that practice of savoring moments of gratitude that we talked about earlier, I invite you to savor moments of radical amazement in your life whenever they arise. Give yourself permission to linger in those moments of awe, wow, and wonder. Along those lines, there's a part of Gail Godwin's novel Evensong that has stuck with me years later since I originally read it. She writes that one of her favorite phrases in the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer is a three-word part of a prayer that asks, "Shield the joyous." And there's something lovely to this notion of shielding the joyous, including the joy that arises from time to time in ourselves. There's so much tragedy and sadness in this life. And giving ourselves permission to experience and process emotions around loss is incredibly important. That's what that Blue Christmas, this Blue Holiday service is about at 6 p.m. tonight. But so too is giving ourselves permission to fully experience joy and to fully experience wonder and awe. Anne Lamott ends her book with an epilogue titled, not surprisingly, Amen. A concluding prayerful affirmation that simply means, so be it. May it be so. And in this section, she quotes a beautiful poem by Raymond Carver that helps bring together the core hope at the center of those three essential prayers: help, thanks, wow. Carver writes, "And did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so. I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, and to feel myself beloved on this earth." We UUs often invoke Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a beloved community and of building that beloved community on this earth. And that poem from Carver touches on the path that we must follow for ourselves and with others if we are to turn that dream of a beloved community into deeds, into a reality. We must call ourselves beloved. We must feel ourselves beloved. And we must come to experience and treat all people, all beings on this earth as beloved. Help, thanks, wow. Connection, gratitude, awe. Three essential prayers, or if you prefer, three essential dispositions, practices. Help, thanks, wow. May it be so, and blessed be.